1 Corinthians chapter 13, usually we read it at weddings and we talk about how sweet and wonderful love is, but I want you to look at verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Listen to what Paul says, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. And he gave some, he's talking about our relationship in the church, he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Do you know something? There's nothing uglier than a tantrum. Have you ever seen anybody throw a tantrum? I can be preaching eternal values that are going to last through heaven and hell, that are going to last through eternity, and a child can throw a tantrum in the room and it'll rivet every eye and every attention that's in here. You can be in a room, and if you want to make the room uncomfortable, just let a young'un throw a tantrum. I tried that once in the church at Lash Meet. Mommy was trying to get me across the front of the church, and I didn't want to go, so I bucked and had a tantrum along about right there in front of the pulpit. And there sat all the elders and preachers up there looking down, and Mommy with my hand and trying to get me to go. And finally, she just picked me up and walked out the door, and I could see all the elders doing that. Sister Olivia's going to do what she's supposed to do. And she took me out in the woods, and she warmed my britches real good. And I came back in and learned not to throw a tantrum. You know what's uglier than a kid throwing a tantrum? I don't want it that way. I don't want it that way. This is the way I do it. I'm going to do it my way. I've done it this way for 75 years, and I'm going to keep doing it. I don't like it. I'm going to do it my way. No, I'm not dancing in the spirit. I'm having a tantrum. You ever see a kid? Yeah, you ever been to the grocery store and the kid throw a tantrum because he didn't get what he wanted? And you watch him lay on the floor and kick and squall and kick his mother and carry on? Young'uns used to get mashed in the mouth for that, by the way. If there's anything uglier than a young'un throwing a tantrum, it's a grown person throwing a tantrum. It's hard to deal with a tantrum-throwing kid. It's virtually impossible to deal with grown people that throw tantrums. And you say, well, I never seen a grown person throw a tantrum. Well, you must have been somewhere out in the middle of the ocean, isolated on a raft. I see people throw tantrums all the time. I see people throw tantrums at funerals. I see people throw tantrums at churches. I see people throwing tantrums in the street. I have to tell you something, folks. When it comes to living the Christian life, if you could master your stupid tongue and the brain that's supposed to be behind it, and your appetite, you'd have it licked. Now, I'm not talking about appetite for food. I'm talking about your lusts and desires, your appetites. The truth is that a whole bunch of us do not have any control at all of what we say and how we act. And I have to tell you something. The danger of throwing a tantrum is once you get started, there's no telling what you're going to say. You don't even know what you're going to say. You'll say things that you didn't aim to say, and later you'll say you didn't mean it, but nobody's going to believe it. Amen? It's sad to see grown people throw tantrums. Now, the message today is grow up. Paul said that to the church in Ephesus. Grow up. He says to the church in Corinth that we need to put away childish things. And we need to take on men things, grown people things. And sometimes it's sad when I see church people acting like sophomores in high school. It's sad when I see grown, supposedly Holy Ghost-filled people acting like little girls in a clique in a high school. Yum, 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 yum. He looked at me funny. Did you see how he looked at me? I had his attention, and she come over and got it. Yum, 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 yum. How sad when grown people act like sophomores in high school. You see, if we see high school girls acting like that, we say, they'll outgrow it. What's terrible is when people don't outgrow it. When people don't know how to get along with each other. When people don't know how to behave with each other. When people don't know how to keep their yap shut. When people don't know. It's not necessary to express every emotion you have. It's not necessary to express every thought that passes between your ears. Because if you do, you're going to cause a bunch of trouble along the way. Amen? Now, let's look. Let's see why little children throw tantrums. And you'll see that it's the same reason that grown people throw tantrums. Number one. Little 18-month-old or 2-year-old or 5-year-old knows one thing for sure, that he is the center of the universe. There is no one else on earth that is more important than he is. There's no one else on earth that should get more attention or quicker attention or more devoted attention that he should get. He knows that he is number one in the world. Now, the Bible says, in the last days, men will be what? Lovers of their own selves. And because of that, he says it will be perilous times. Men love themselves. And because they love themselves, then they feel like they're the center of the universe. Everything's revolving around them. Everything's about them. Everything that's going on should impact them and touch them and should be their way. My wants, my needs should be met now. And if they're not met now, I'm going to see why they aren't. Sad when grown people are that way. It'll wreck a marriage. It'll wreck a church. It'll wreck any relationship that's going on. And not only do we want our attention now, we want it before anybody else. I'm number one in the line. You get yours after I get mine. We have this idea that, you know, I'm special. I feel special. I ought to be treated special. You see, and I'll get it. The little fellow thinks, no matter what I have to do, I'll whine, I'll whimper, I'll cry, I'll stomp my feet, and I'll generally embarrass everybody around me and tear up everybody around me, and if all else fails, I'll run away. They'll see then how much it hurts. They'll see then I'll run away and we'll see what happens. Folks, grown people act like that. Now, that's why a four-year-old acts that way. Because he knows he's the center of the world. Because he knows that everything ought to be his and be coming to him. You see, children have to be taught that there are other people in the world. People have to be taught that there is other people that have needs and other people that have things, and that old number one is not the one that gets everything, and old number one don't always get everything first and foremost before anybody else. But it's sad when a five-year-old pitches a fit on that basis. It's worse when a 55-year-old pitches a fit on that. Grow up. Realize that you're not the only cookie in the jar. Realize that you're not the only human on earth that has a need. Realize that other people have feelings and other people have priorities and other people have things that need to happen to them. And you need to wait and see where your place in the line is. In fact, as Jesus said, go to the back of the line. Amen? When you go to a feast, don't try to be sitting in the high seat. Go down and sit in the low seat. I was preaching at the prayer breakfast at First Methodist Church in Parrisburg one morning, and the line formed, and I got at the end of it to go get breakfast. And I said, "Oh, Pastor Eddie, you can't get back there." I said, "You've got to come up to the front." And they come and got me. Judge Powell and a bunch of them come and got me and took me to the front. And I said, "You fellas just performed the scriptures this morning." Said, "When you're invited to a feast, go to the end. And wait till you're invited to go to the head." I hate, if you'll notice, when we have a dinner here, I'm usually at the end of the line. You know why? Because I hate to see fat preachers running in the line and being hogs in front of the people. Somebody say amen. But I mean that. I mean that. Now listen, grow up, folks. Grow up. You're not the only person on earth. You're not the only person on earth that has feelings. You're not the only person on earth that has things that need to be met and needs that need to be met. And other people's persons are just as important as your persons. And let me tell you something, in case you don't believe it, their children are just as precious as your children. You don't want to hear me talk about my children every time I come to this pulpit. Your children, what they did this week and how they lived, is just as precious and as important as my children. And everybody's children are as important. And you realize that when you're dealing with somebody's children, my friend, you don't say, "My children, my children, my children." My friend, in my children dealing with your children are just as precious as mine. And I can tell you, if they're anything like me, they're just as apt to be at fault as anybody else. Grow up. Realize that the last days are characterized by people thinking they're all number one, selfish, self-centered. Now, what everything else that has to do with the kid having tantrums comes under this. If you can cure yourself of believing you're number one, that your needs are more important than anybody else's needs, that your desires are better than anybody else's desires, that everything in your life that needs to come first and you need to be ahead of everybody else, if you can cure yourself of all of that, you'll probably cure yourself of all the rest of it. It's kind of like the commandments. If you love the Lord your God with your whole soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, you won't need any more commandments. The other eight you can forget about. Because you're never going to steal. You're never going to lie. You're never going to do any of that. And I think the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus himself said as much. What else about kids? They're territorial. It's mine. How many times do you hear that? Two kids with a toy between them, and both of them are hollering at the top of their voice, "Mine, mommy, it's mine. He took mine." So they guard their territory. You ever see kids do this? Push all their toys over in the corner and say, "This is mine." And you better not step over here. I'll get you good. Hey, kids do that. Sadly, Christian people do that. They're territorial. This is my pulpit. This is my place to stand. And you better not stand in it or touch it, because it's mine. I don't want you preaching because I'm the ones to preach. Oh, my friend. The gifts and callings that God has given us are not for our own self to blow ourselves up, but it's for the edification of the church and to make the church perfected and to help other people. But you see, children have tantrums because they don't get mine. In fact, is children have tantrums because what the other child has that's his, he wants to be mine. Oh, my grandsons in North Carolina have a lot of problems with this, don't they, Fern? They just have a lot of problems with what's mine. And, you know, Joseph can be over here playing with something, and Daniel comes, and then he forgets about it and walks on. Daniel comes over and picks it up and starts playing with it. That was mine! He's not playing with it. He's gone to something else. But that's mine. You leave it alone. That's mine. And we become territorial. We become territorial about where we sit or what gifts or calling or place we have in the church. And we feel like that's mine. And I'm going to get it. I'm going to have it. And I'm going to keep it no matter what. And I am not going to share. I am not going to share. That's when we need to grow up. Amen? You see, that's what children do. And what do we have to do? How many mothers ever have to say to a child, "Now, Johnny, you need to learn to share." You ever said that to your kids and your grandkids? Yeah. You need to learn to share. Hey, grown people, sanctified people, spirit-filled people, people of the Word, you need to share. You need to share your space. You need to share your callings. You need to share your gifts. Grow up. Don't be so territorial. And then there's this thing, you know, children have vivid imaginations. I mean, they really do. It's just amazing to me what all they can imagine. It's amazing to me what all grown people can imagine. It's amazing to me. You remember Jesus talked to people, said, "Well, you say we piped to you, but you did not dance." What are the children doing? They're playing in the street, and they're playing a little flute, and they're saying, "Well, I piped, but you didn't dance because you didn't join their game. You didn't play their game." And they say, "Well, I mourned, but you did not wail. You did not mourn with me." They were playing funeral. And you say, "Kids don't play funeral. Kids play everything. Kids play everything." We played church when I was little. It was the most exciting thing going on. How many of us ever played church? Amen. Yeah, we did pretty good. We had a place down in the yard over in the holler where Doug lives. Used to be rocks down the yard till a man came with a bulldozer and took them out. We did good playing church till Eloise was playing a lady in the church. She fell down in the spirit and rolled over the hill into the road. And Grandma stopped us from playing church because she's afraid somebody's going to get killed. What I'm saying is that children have imaginations and they expect everybody else to join in what they're doing. Sometimes you have to really think to get in their imagination. But they're imagining all this that's happening that's not real at all, but they expect you to join in with their imaginations. Sadly, people 50 years old have vivid imaginations and they imagine things that are not true. They imagine things about other people that are not true. They imagine things about situations that are not true. And it guides their life and they react to it. And they have temper tantrums because of it. Because they misunderstood. How sad that is. How sad that is. My friend, corral your imagination.
In fact, is one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to what? Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the Most High God. Isn't that in the book? Did I read that in there? I think I did. Now, I have to tell you about a kid throwing a temper tantrum. He don't care who it embarrasses. He don't care where it's at. He don't care how it is. He'll throw a temper tantrum on you right in front of the principal, right in front of the doctor, right in front of your lawyer. He'll throw a temper tantrum on you right in the middle of the store when everybody else is around. And he don't care that you're embarrassed. In fact is, that's one of his tools. If he gets you embarrassed, you'll give in to his temper tantrum because you're so embarrassed you can't stand yourself. Grow up. I hear people say all the time, well, I don't care who it hurts. I just say what I want to say. I don't care who it hurts. I don't care whether you like it or not. If you don't like it, you can lump it. Go ahead. Go ahead and live like that. You're going to have a bunch of hurt people behind you somewhere. Go ahead and just blab your mouth and say whatever you got to say. You're going to have a bunch of hurt people. My friend, if you grow up, you'll be cognizant of other people's feelings. I care who it hurts. It hurts me bad if I say something that hurts somebody else and I find it out. I generally go and apologize for it and ask for forgiveness. And I go and pray for those people that God will help them and lift them up and give them strength. But a kid throwing a temper tantrum, he don't care who he throws it in front of. And sadly, I see grown people having temper tantrums, and they don't care who hears it, and they don't care who it hurts, and they don't care whether it's convenient or not. You know, they're throwing a temper tantrum. They're not caring if you're embarrassed. They're throwing a temper tantrum. They're not caring about how inconvenient it is for you to do what they want you to do. And they don't care how much sacrificing you have to do it. How many times have your kids ever threw a fit and asked you for something you absolutely could not afford? You just did not have the money. You just could not do it. Now, when I was a little boy, and people came to trade at my grandpa's store across the hill here, it was a whole lot different trading than it is now. Everything was on a shelf and in a box or a barrel or someplace, and people brought a list of what they needed. And very little else was bought besides of what was needed. And I don't know about you, but when I went to the store with my folks as a kid, they went that way if you put your hand up on the counter and touched anything. How many have ever had your hand smack for reaching up on the counter? Amen. But now kids just grab it and run through the counter, run through the aisle with it. What are you saying? I'm telling you, my friend, that you may be throwing a temper tantrum about something that other people can't help. It would be so inconvenient and so sacrificing for them to have to do that, and you're asking to do it. You know why? Because you don't care. You're throwing a temper tantrum because you don't care if it inconveniences somebody else. You don't care if it hurts somebody else. You don't care if it upsets somebody else. Grow up! Now, are there any babies left here in the church? Yeah, there's a baby left here. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad there's one baby left. They're all not in the nursery or gone. Can I borrow your baby? Oh, that is a pretty little feller. Look at that. Isn't she? She is a feller. Now, you know what's funny about this baby? She don't have one thing to say about me picking her up. You know who she really likes the best? Whoever's doing this. Whoever's got the bottle.
whoever's got the sweet thing that she can suck on, whoever's got the passy, that's what she likes. And see, she don't have any choice. See, somebody else has got her. See there? And she likes that. She likes that just as good as me having her. You know, what are you saying? Let us not be, Paul's saying, grow up. And what does he say? He said, let us not be carried around by every wind of doctrine and the sleight and the cunning of man. What are you saying, preacher? Grow up. Don't let people carry you off with ever false doctrine that comes by. Don't let people carry you off with ever fad and ever folly that comes by. And that what he's saying? Isn't that what the Apostle Paul's saying? He's saying you have apostles and leaders and preachers and evangelists and all these people in the church. You say, well, what was wrong with that little baby? That little baby didn't have any say in what I just did. You know why? Because she don't think yet for herself. Grow up and learn to think. You see, the baby has no vision of where it's going or where it's come from or what its destiny is. The baby just takes whoever brings the next bottle, whoever brings the next breast to hold it on, whoever brings the nest rocking. It's carried away with itself because it knows it's number one and its needs are being met. It's carried around without thinking. My friend, when you grow up, you have some say in where you go and what you do. When you grow up, you have some say in what you believe and how you believe. You see, the baby don't know right from wrong because it can't read the Word. It doesn't have the Holy Scriptures yet. It's depending on its mommy and its daddy. Big responsibility. But let me tell you something. You know better. You have the book. You don't have to be carried around by whoever comes by and picks you up. You don't have to be carried out by whoever comes by with something sweet to get your attention. You don't have to be carried away by something that comes by and fools you. You don't have to be fooled. You know why? Because you can read His Word and you can believe what the Word says. You do not have to be carried around by every wind of doctrine. So the message this morning is, say it together. Grow up already. I mean, for goodness sakes, Eddie, you're 65 years old. You ought to be grown by now. Not talking about age in the flesh. We're talking about maturing in the spirit. It's sad to see people who have been experiencing church for years and are still having tantrums. Still think they're the center of the universe. Still think everything is theirs. Still think that the toys all belong to them. Still think you ought to play their games and their imagination. And still don't care who it affects or who it embarrasses or whatever else happens. And they're carried about by whoever comes by with the next idea. Whoever comes by with the next tickler. Whoever comes by with the next rattler. Whoever comes by with the next piece of candy that they can suck on. My brothers and sisters, we need to be mature Christians. We need to grow up. And we need to get our tongue and our emotions under control. My friend, we do not have to express our emotions and our feelings on everything that comes by. My grandmother said a still tongue makes a wise head. And I think she might have had something. Everybody ought to read the book of Proverbs once in a while. If you would just read through the book of Proverbs once in a while, it would tell you a whole bunch of common horse sense about how to live. If you keep saying things to people, you're going to draw blood out of them eventually.
know what the Bible said? The wringing of the nose produces blood. If you keep saying things to people, hurtful things or mean things, it's eventually going to backfire and draw blood. I have to tell you, a little patience, waiting to see how things go, waiting to see what it's really going to be like, will save you and other people a world of suffering and heartache. But I can tell you, throwing a tantrum will only embarrass everybody else and make them uncomfortable. That little baby, that's a tiny baby. But if that little baby would pitch a fit right now, they'd run out the door with it. I don't know what they'd do with it. But if that little baby would pitch a fit right now, everybody in here would hear it. Now, it's pitching a fit for those two people sitting there's attention, essentially, is what she's doing. But everybody in here would be affected by it. Let me tell you something. And you know who the worst person in this room is to pitch a fit or throw a tantrum? Me. I would affect more people than anyone else. It is imperative that I learn, boy, I'll have to live good this week. It is imperative that I learn to keep my tongue with a bridle, keep my emotions under control, and do not ever throw a fit because it affects too many people. Now, let us pray. Father, I thank you so much that when you wrote this book through men, you wrote a lot of things in it. And I'm glad that, Father, you wrote to the Ephesians and told them to grow up into the full stature of men of God. I'm glad, Father, that you inspired with the Holy Ghost the Apostle Paul to write to the church at Corinth and to tell him to put away his childish things and to take on the things of manhood. Father, I thank you this morning that you have spoken to us in this building. Father, that we can learn to be men and women and not babies. That we can learn in our relationship with our own children, with our husbands and wives, with our fellow Christians, that we can learn how counterproductive a temper tantrum is. How ill-advised it is to pitch a fit. How much we are giving in to Satan when we do that and do not give ourselves over to Christ for the Holy Ghost to dominate us. Father, teach us to be sweet, to be gentle, to be self-controlled. Heavenly Father, these favors we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Methodist preacher preached a sermon about taters over to Eggleston years ago. He preached about all the taters that people had in their garden and that God had in His. And some of them were commentators. You've met them, the commentators. And some of them were dictators. They wanted to tell everybody else what to do. But when he got to the end, he said what God was really looking for in his garden was sweet taters. And my friend, I can tell you this morning, God is looking for sweet taters in His garden. If you need prayer, this congregation will be glad to join with me and pray for your needs this morning. And I would ask all of you to go home and take inventory and think about, Lord, how mature am I? How much have I grown in you? How far have I advanced in the kingdom of God? Would you stand as we sing Glory to His Name?
Glory to His name.
Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Amen. Don't worry about your toes. They'll heal. They'll all get back to where they ought to be. Just grow up and be a man. Be a woman of God. Amen. We invite you to come back. We do have church on Sunday evening. I'm going to preach on aiming for the mark this evening. And pray that God will touch and bless the service this evening. Father, we pray you'll bless each and every person that's here this morning. Anoint them with the Holy Ghost and let your Spirit go with us and keep us, sanctify us, and use us to your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.